Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, for today's service from Zurich, we greet you all worldwide in the precious name of our Lord and Redeemer, Jesus Christ. We are very grateful that we have a great, almighty God who takes care for us. We are so grateful for the great privilege that we, since more than 50 years here in Zurich, every last Sunday of a month, we can hear the true divine message from a commissioned mouth. As a testimony for the glory of God, I would like to testify today that I almost from the very beginning I could participate without any interruption participating in these meetings. In this long time, I was never disappointed. On the contrary, I was always richly blessed with my family. I was strengthened and revived. Also, oftentimes, during the sermon, I was healed in my body and newly straightened up. We are grateful to our Lord for the great grace that he kept our beloved brother Frank up to this old age of almost 90 years. It is really a great privilege that we found undeserved grace before God, and that he has given us eternal salvation. Before we pray, I would like to read us a word from Hebrews chapter 4. I read from Hebrews 4 from verse 12 to 16. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin.
Nur ohne Sünde. So wollen wir denn mit freudigen
Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Zu rechtzeitiger Hilfe. Ich lese noch
I also read from chapter
5,
from verse 5 to 10.
So hat denn auch Christus sich nicht selbst,
so also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that has said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek, whom in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And thereby, being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So far, this precious and holy word that remains forever and is a lamp unto our feet forever. Amen. Let us pray now. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, faithfulness, and mercy that is every day new. Thank you that you are still the same. Also, your word is still alive. It is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We are deeply grateful to you that also today we can hear again what the Spirit says unto the churches, and that the word does not return void, but it accomplishes for what you will send it for. Lord, right now we want to come, we want to approach the throne of grace, that we are all helped. We also lay our will into your will, so that you come to your right with us, and that your well-pleasing can rest upon us. Lord, take dwelling in our hearts, so that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Bless and strengthen in particular your faithful servant. Take him at his right hand. Lead and guide him in this serious time with your Holy Spirit, and renew his youth feelable. Help and bless all ministering brethren and all the blood-bought multitude worldwide, and work that all walk in lockstep towards the eternal destination. We thank you that you obtained for us an eternal, unique, complete redemption. You are the victor of Calvary. Your victory is also our victory. May today the victory of Calvary be manifest in a mighty way, is our prayer to you, the only true God. Belongs all the glory and honor and praise and all the worship in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Also, I would like to greet all of you, all near and far. We are grateful to the Lord God that we can have these live broadcasts from Zurich. We are grateful for the word of introduction We can deepen ourselves in it. And time and again, we can find out and realize what our Lord has done for us. Yes, we are thankful to our brother Baumgartner and to all brothers in Switzerland that this message also from here can reach into all the world and all can hear and experience. Brother Branham, after all, he was in both countries. He was in Germany. He was in Switzerland. And we thank the Lord that we had a direct part in that, what God promised for this last time phase in His Word. And I of course have to thank in particular very much that God has given me from the very beginning the trust, the faith in the sending, in the calling, in the commission that He has given to Brother Branham. Not a single time a question came up. No, I knew he is a man sent from God. All who heard the word of introduction, please read it again. We will go more into the subject that our Lord was high priest. But to me comes the thought of the 11th of June 1933, when Brother Branham received the direct commission to bring the message. And then I think on the 11th of June 1958 in Dallas, Texas, when Brother Branham, after the conversation, he told me, "Brother Frank, you will return to Germany with this message." We are just so grateful. I am grateful that the ministry that the Lord has given me is directly connected with the ministry of Brother Branham. Let us hear some scriptures. And let's go briefly into it. May all brothers in all peoples and tongues, all ministering brethren, may they be blessed with the blessing of the Almighty God. It is grace and again grace that we recognized the time in which we live and also the promises that God has given for this time. Please, we read from Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 7, Vers 1-3. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. As we'll just read on, already in the Old Testament, our Lord was king, priest. He was already everything in the Old Testament. And that, what belonged to the New Testament, was then manifest. Please. Verse 2. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. First being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Yes, everything he is. King of Salem. King of Jerusalem. Oh, we are so grateful that we are always dealing with the same Lord, whether in the Old or in the New Testament. Blessed be his name. Please, we read verse 3. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. Also, this is something wonderful. In the Old Testament, no father, no mother, and yet priest, high priest, king, oh, blessed be his wonderful name. And in the New Testament, he came to us, and he remained the same king, the same priest, and high priest. Let us read on. We read from Hebrews chapter 9, verse 7. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. Also, this is one of the main thoughts which belong to the plan of salvation of God. As high priest into the most holy place, the priests were allowed into the sanctuary. As high priest, he went with his own blood into the Holy of Holies. There was the Ark of the Covenant, the altar of incense, and our Lord and Redeemer, as the high priest, he offered his own blood upon the Ark of the Covenant and obtained an eternal redemption for us. As high priest, this we all know, he wore the breastplate with the 12 stones of the 12 tribes of Israel. He wore it on his chest. Oh, thanks be to the Lord that all 12 tribes of Israel and that all peoples, tongues and nations were included into God's plan of salvation. But the breastplate had a special significance. It is called lights and perfections, as Urim and Tumim. And then it happened, when somebody said something and it was correct, then a supernatural light flashed from forth of the breastplate to confirm this is correct. If something was said that was not correct, not right, then it remained dark. It was the jurisdiction. The same it is today with us, beloved brothers and sisters. May all who minister with the word, may all wear the breastplate. May they be aware of that the doctrine of the 12 apostles were just given by God. May all understand that the Old and the New Testament in itself is complete and perfect, that nobody may add something to it. A testament is a last will. I again want to emphasize it. In the Old Testament, all these things meant a foreshadowing for the reality that would be in the New Testament. Let us go quickly to Revelation chapter 2. There it is written, you tried them who say they are apostles and who are not. Why not? Because their doctrine was not in conformity with the early apostles. It is our task to take this holy word as a breastplate, as lights and perfections, and everything what is not written here in this testament, be it the Old or the New, this you can forget. This is the pure, absolute, complete truth to which nothing may be added and nothing may be taken away from it. Thanks be to the Lord for it. Please. We read from Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 and 12. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained an eternal redemption for us. Thanks be to the living God. Once for all, he obtained an eternal redemption for us by the blood of the Lamb that was shed on the cross of Calvary. Dear brothers and sisters, although it doesn't fit into the time doctrinally in which we arrived, yet we have to preach the main point. For whoever crosses over into eternity without being redeemed has to bear the consequences forever. Blessed is the man who at his lifetime recognizes that God was in Christ and reconciled the world with himself, and us by the blood that was offered upon the Ark of the Covenant, that he has given us an eternal redemption. And this gift of grace of God we accepted and received, and we have become a people of kings and priests, sons and daughters of God by grace. Please, we read from Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 to 11.
Nein, entäußerte sich selbst,
but he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man. Also for this we thank our Lord and Redeemer. In the Old Testament, no father, no mother. He who walked in the Garden of Eden, who created man, Adam, in his image, he is all in all, king, priest, and prophet. All in all, in the New Testament, he became like us, without going into detail of the birth of our Redeemer, but he became man, and he was made in the likeness of man, so that he can understand you and me in every situation, whatever may come along our way, whatever may strike us, that he can have compassion with us, and so forth. For everything God took care of, to him be the thanks for it. Please.
Verse 8.
He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. This is the most important verse. Obedient. We all know unbelief and disobedience were the original sin in the Garden of Eden. Faith and obedience belong together. Our Lord and Redeemer became obedient, even to the death on the cross, so that we, who we have been crucified with Christ, that we can be obedient and that we can serve the Lord with all our heart, out of love, not as a must. You must. No, we only must be born again. Everything else was given along our way, as in the natural creation, only the birth is a must. The birth must be there. But in the moment when the birth took place, a human being is complete from head to toe. And when the growth has come, we can perceive all areas without that we have to make efforts for it. In the same way, it is in the spiritual. He who is born of God overcomes the world, and the divine life in us has an impact. It makes an impact. And by faith and in obedience, we may follow our Lord and giving Him the glory. It continues. Verse 9. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. What a wonderful word. Yes, it is written. All knees, wherever they might be, all knees will bow before Him. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Oh, how grateful we can be that we cannot only look at all these words, but that we recognize why our Lord, who in all of the Old Testament was at work, that in the New Testament He became man. He was born into this world, namely as son. Also, this must be emphasized. Where king is written, belongs king. Where mediator is written, there mediator belongs. Where advocate is written, there belongs the word advocate. Where son is written, there belongs the word son. As son, he was born to bring us back as sons and daughters of God into our sonship, to bring us back, we, who we as sons and daughters of God were ordained from the very beginning. By the fall, we got lost. We were ordained to be immortal as sons and daughters of God, together with our God throughout eternity. But then the terrible happened in the Garden of Eden. Unbelief, doubt, everything came, and suddenly the transgression, the fall, the separation from God, death, and already the first, what God decided, was over. The second happened. But here is the point which I want to emphasize. The original will of God was that we, as sons and daughters of God, will be together with our Father eternally in heaven. The permissive will of God was that the fall happened and that redemption became necessary, and that our Lord made the damage well, that he took death, sin, disobedience, he took everything upon himself, and by the cross of Calvary, through the precious and holy blood, in which was divine eternal life, to offer it for us, so that we are brought back to the destination originally decided and determined by God in eternity. So, once again, there is the absolute perfect will of God. And there was the permissive will of God. We were taken out of the permissive will of God. We were redeemed and were placed into the remaining eternal will of God. And we will be together with our Lord throughout eternity, as true as we received eternal life. And thus it is written in 1 John, in chapter 5, in verse 11, he that has the Son of God has eternal life. He who has not the Son of God has not life. He who wants to live eternally must receive and accept Jesus Christ as his Redeemer. For only in him and through him we receive eternal life. Please. I read from Philippians 2, verse 10 and 11. Philippians 2, verse 10 and 11. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Praise the Lord. This we mentioned already. For me, all these scriptures are so precious. One can read them over and again, emphasizing them, preaching them. And the grace which God has given us, not only to be children of God, not only to believe in the Redeemer and the redemption, but to believe every promise in the Bible, the whole holy word, every verse, to believe it. Also these scriptures which refer to our time, that God would send a prophet like Elijah, as written in the last verses of the prophet Malachi, to turn the heart of the children back to the fathers. If we take all the other scriptures to it, that now, before the return of Christ, a last message goes forth into all the world, into all the nations, as the last call before the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And if it is written in Acts 3, verse 20, that our Lord, the heaven must receive until the restoration of all that what God spoke through his holy prophets since the world began. Then we believe it, that our beloved Redeemer waits in heaven until the church, and here we can say until the bride church, because thus it is written, not only church, and the Spirit says what must be said to the churches. In all seven messages to the churches, blessed is he who hears what the Spirit says unto the churches. But then, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Among all them in all churches, the last call goes forth. And this is happening now. And now, from all the churches, the bride church is called out, who believes the bridegroom, and who goes out to meet him, as it is written in Revelation, and his bride has made herself ready, as written in Matthew 25, behold, the bridegroom cometh, and those who were ready went in to the marriage supper. I come to the close, and I summarize. As certain as the Lord has given promises for the first coming of Christ, so certain. He has given promises that come to fulfillment before the second coming of Christ. And all who are of God, they will not only read the Bible and putting it aside, but they are led by the Spirit of God into the truth of the Word. Let us say it with a deep pain. Right now, we have 352 Christian churches and denominations and fellowships that are joined in the World Council of Churches. And all teach and believe something different. And all have the same Bible. And at the end, the man who is responsible says, although we are all fundamentally different, yet we are all one in the Holy Trinity, in which we are all united. It is pathetic. One cannot put it in another way. The word Trinity does not exist in the Bible. The word Triune God does not exist in the Bible. The word Trinity does not exist in the Bible. The term Eternal Son does not exist in the Bible. The word God the Son does not exist in the Bible. All these formulations, which are used by all the denominations, they do not exist at all. And therefore, it must be said very clearly, this is the day that the Lord has made, the hour of God, in which only this is preached. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And as certain as there's only one God, so certain there's only one redemption, only one eternal life. This one God revealed himself already in the beginning, in Genesis 2, as Lord. Not another person, but the invisible, eternal God, who is Spirit, came from eternity into time. And here he revealed himself in a visible shape of appearance as Yahweh, as Lord. And thus we see him in all of the Old Testament. On the one hand, next to God. On the other hand, as God. The same it is in the New Testament. He is both. He is Emmanuel. Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. And this means God with us. And thou shalt call his name Yahshua. With us, we say Jesus. Yahshua. Yahweh Savior. He is both. He is Elohim. He is Yahweh. Depending in which office or task he is shown to us in the Word. Oh, how grateful I am towards my God and Lord, towards my Redeemer. Just briefly mentioned, the baptism. Every person who stops at Matthew 28:19, he must of course consider and think about that here it is written, and baptize them into the name, singular, singular. What is the name in which the Father has revealed Himself as Son and Holy Ghost? What is the name? Father is not a name. Son is not a name. Holy Ghost is not a name. What is the name? My God, wake up. Come to your senses. Return to the Word of God. All who since Acts chapter 2 were baptized, all were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say it to all with insistence, whoever was not baptized biblically in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, please be baptized today. May the Lord God bless you all. To the time in which we live, to the signs of the time, we didn't speak of today at all. This we can all watch and hear in the news. May God bless all brothers, all sisters, all ministering brethren, in all peoples, tongues, and nations. And may God give grace that we belong to those who are called out, to them who can say sincerely and tune in, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And at him who hears, say, come. And we believe that the coming of the Lord is at hand. Be blessed with the blessing of the Almighty God in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Zündet an mein Feuer, Herr, im Herzen mir. Hell möge es brennen, lieber Heiland dir. Was ich bin und habe, soll dein eigen sein. In deine Hände schließe fest mich ein. Quelle des Lebens und der Freude Quell. Du machst das Dunkel meiner Seele hell. Mein Beten hilft aus aller Not, Jesus, mein Heiland, mein Herr und Gott. Wollest mich bewahren, wenn der Satan droht, du bist der Retter, Herr von Sünd und Tod. In der Welt nach Dunkel leuchte mir als Stern, Herr, bleibe bei mir, sei mir niemals fern. Quelle des Lebens und der Freude Quell, du machst das Dunkel meiner Seele hell. Du hörst mein Beten, hilfst aus aller Not, Jesus, mein Heiland, mein Herr und Gott. Bald wird uns leuchten Gottes ewiges Licht, freue ich Seele und verzage nicht. Lass die Klagen schweigen, wenn der Sieger schaut. Fröhlichen Glaubens, unser Herr kommt bald. Quelle des Lebens und der Freude Quell. Du machst das Dunkel meiner Seele hell. Du hörst mein Beten, hilfst aus aller Not.